Actress Grace Kelly was not the first American princess. In the late 19th century, some young American heiresses exchanged their wealth for titles, marrying into the European elite. One such heiress was Clara Ward, who was born in Detroit in 1924. She married a Belgian prince, becoming Princesse de Caraman-Chimay. But Clara's story is no traditional fairy tale. Here to tell us more about Clara Ward's unconventional life is Joe Grimm. Joe's the visiting editor in residence at Michigan State University's School of Journalism. Joe's also the author of several books, including Windjammers, Songs of the Great Lakes Sailors, and Coney, Detroit. Joe first wrote about Clara Ward for Michigan History Magazine. Joe Grimm, welcome to Current State.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
One reason why Clara Ward has a claim to fame here in Michigan is her father. Tell us a little bit about her dad, Eber Brock Ward.
Yes. Eber was a fascinating guy in his own right. He was Michigan's first multimillionaire and Michigan's richest man when he died. And he died when Clara was only 2 years old. So she never really knew him, but she was born for sure into money.
How did he make his fortune?
He made his fortune in a variety of ways. Shipbuilding. He was a major shipbuilder on the Great Lakes. Steel making, especially in Wyandotte. But he also had operations in northern Michigan, Chicago, St. Louis. He made glass. He owned some forest property. Hmm. He had his fingers in mining. He had his fingers in the expansion of the Sioux Canal.
Busy guy.
He was a busy capitalist.
Now, the union between Clara's parents apparently scandalized Detroit society as well, to the point that Clara's mother left Detroit for Toronto after Eber Ward's death. What was Clara Ward's upbringing like?
Well, she was raised in money, but everybody in Detroit kind of looked at the family, especially her mother, with the stink eye, because Eber had divorced his first wife, with whom he had seven children, and then remarried a woman, Kate, who was about 20-some years his junior. And this was scandalous in 1890s Detroit.
Mm. And how is it that Clara ends up becoming a princess?
Well, she was shopped around, not to be indelicate. But her mother, Kate, moved away from Detroit soon after Eber died, and she wanted to get away from the disapproval of Detroiters. She moved to Toronto. She married, went to New York for a while, and sent Clara as a teen off to be finished in European schools, where Clara was kicked out of at least one for misbehavior. And then Clara's mom, ever a stage mom, I guess, took her daughter to France, and they traveled in circles where they would run into royalty. And this is how Clara came to the attention of the prince. The prince was quite a bit older than her, and she said, not very much fun. Mostly he just cared about hunting, partridges largely, and it was hard to get him to be very emotional or excited about anything else. So she was kind of bored, and family money was being used to fix up his old castle, which couldn't have been much fun either.
This sounds like a recipe for disaster.
I just can't
imagine what awaits us after this. So Clara is married to a prince. She also has she has other royalty lusting after her.
Yes. There was a King Leopold who was attracted to this young American heiress and was flirting with her. Now, I don't think that ever went anywhere, or if it did, it's been hidden by history. But Clara and the prince had two children, and I imagine Clara pestered her husband for a little more excitement in their life. So they moved. They spent some time. They didn't move, but they spent some time in Paris, where Clara found the nightlife to be so exciting. The nightclubs, the restaurants, it was all bright lights and glitter for Clara. And King Leopold followed her there, and Clara turned her head away from the king because she became captivated by the enchanting sounds of a gypsy fiddler named Rigo Jansky.
Rigo Jansky. Now, she was born in 1924, so this is not that.
No. Clara was born in the 1800s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, very good. All right, my chronology. I want to.
Well, there's a lot of characters in this story, and and several of them married many times.
What did you have to work with as far as exploring her life story?
Well, there's some very interesting material, and some of it is just coming together now on the internet as people are posting more and more things about everything. I started with newspaper clippings, and I had access to those because I was working at the Free Press when I started looking into this story. But since then, a playwright in New York City has given me what appears to have been a novel that may have been based on a Clara Ward diary. He wanted to make a musical about her, but I don't think that's going to happen. And more recently, an article in a medical journal showed up where a doctor interviewed Clara and declared that she was a messed up human being.
Very clinical diagnosis.
He called her an erratopath.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and said having a lot of money did her no favors.
Okay. So Clara, it was married to the prince. She has the king lusting after her, but she falls for a musician, a gypsy violinist,
right.
Rogi Jansky.
Rigo Jansky.
Rigo Jansky.
Yes, and they ran off together. They ran off together to his mother's place, and they were married, and it's scandalous enough in the 1800s to get divorced. Much worse to get divorced from a prince. Much, much worse to get married before you've divorced the prince. So for a while, Clara had two husbands, the prince and the fiddler.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
So are the folks back in Detroit following all of this drama?
Oh, my gosh, yes. It's great copy for newspapers.
Selling a lot of papers.
The headlines called her Madcap Clara Ward, and she was, in a lot of ways, the Kardashian of her times.
Yeah. She was still, nonetheless, I take it, admired by some number of people and popular as well. Can you get at that?
Well, she was very popular in society circles in Paris, certain parts. I mean, there was certainly some that were looking down their nose at her, but she was posing for photographs in Paris. She and Rigo were painted by Toulouse-Lautrec, and that painting is in the museum in Cleveland. She posed for what they called poses plastique, in which she donned a full-length body stocking. So she appeared to be nude, but she wasn't. And there's a number of photographs of her in different poses, sultry poses, that she did where she enjoyed a brief career as a model, I guess you'd say. And she also, now this is also scandalous, she also posed for little cigarette ads that were sold with packages of cigarettes.
Shocking.
And she was actually shown with a cigarette. You wouldn't see a decent woman smoking on the streets, but Clara had a cigarette. And in one photograph, she has her leg cocked over a bicycle, fully clothed, but very suggestive.
Now, in your piece in Michigan History, you mentioned an interview that Clara had with a physician. What did this doctor have to say about Clara? You may have alluded to that a second
ago. Yeah, let me
ago.
Quote a little bit of that. Now, at this point, Clara she's left the prince, she's left Rigo, and she has a new boyfriend who she will soon marry. She ultimately wound up with four marriages. But this fellow, Dr. Hughes, interviewed her and said, "The biography of this unfortunate woman shows her to be an erratopath, extremely imperative in her erotic impulses and blind to the ordinary restraining social, moral, and organic properties that usually govern others of her sex."
Mm.
Condemnation. Scandal.
Have you had contact with any of her descendants?
I have not. She had two children with the prince, who she left behind when she went off with Rigo, and the prince raised them. Now, they would have been, I don't know whether they had children, but I have not been in touch with any of her family members. I've been in touch with some members of the Ward family, which was an interesting family in Michigan history, both Eber and his cousin David, who David also was known as Michigan's richest man when he died about 10 years after Eber. Eber died around 1890, David around 1900.
So the Princess Chimay was described by a lot of people as a rich brat without morals. Others do paint her as something of a suffragette type figure because she refused to submit to convention.
That's right. And she lives on in many ways. There are two dishes, cooks might know about this, or they could look them up. There are two dishes named after the princess, and one named after Rigo. An elaborate chocolate cake is named after Rigo Yansky. So she was celebrated by chefs and photographers and painters and writers. She was part of that circle when she was in Paris. Later in her successive marriages, she became less and less prominent and less visible. She still had money when she died, but she was relatively obscure and estranged from her mother and her children.
Is there any remaining evidence of Eber Brock Ward's profile in Detroit, or Clara Ward's profile in the city of Detroit?
Eber Brock, definitely. He's buried in the city of Detroit. There is a historic marker in Downriver, Detroit, where he was a pioneer in steel making and had a big steel operation downriver in Wyandotte. So he's remembered there quite well. And he is in up in the Leland area. You'll have little floating stones that still wash ashore sometimes that come from a steelmaking operation he had up there.
Hmm. I can't get over how unlike this topic is from Windjammers, Songs of the Great Lakes Sailors. How do you transition from subject material like that to this?
Well, they are connected because...
this I can't wait to hear.
The Ward family built a lot of ships on the Great Lakes.
Okay.
And in fact, there was a song about the Ward shipping line that was sung by African Americans who used to... They weren't sailors, but they were stevedores who brought heavy metals, you know, copper and iron, aboard Ward ships for the passage down to Detroit. So there is a connection. It's all connected.
And Coney Detroit is another one of your books.
Yes.
Explain that mysterious title, please.
It's the story about the center of the Coney Nation, which is right here in Detroit and Southeast Michigan and Jackson and Flint.
The Coney Nation.
There is a Coney Nation. It unites all people who love all things Coney.
It's
a state of mind.
I guess so.
Not a place.
It seems like Clara Ward has all the makings of a book. Have you considered writing a book about her?
I've thought about writing a book about the Ward cousins, and Clara would be part of that. And I don't know whether such a book would be popular and whether it could sell. So I bit off the best part of that, which was the Clara Ward chapter, and I put that in Michigan History Magazine just to get that on the record. And so I haven't given up on the idea, but I'm not sold that people would rush out to buy a book about this family.
You spent some time at the Free Press. You're here at Michigan State
I am here at Michigan State since 2008.
Okay. And what's your experience at the university been like after the newspaper life?
I love it. The students here are great. They are excited about journalism. They are ready to try new things. They do things that haven't been done before. And one of the reasons I came here was to be with people who could move fast and who wouldn't be encumbered by, the very real encumbrances that mass media have in terms of, oh my gosh, lots of equipment and pension funds and ways of thinking that, you know, we can change quickly. So the students here teach me.
Mm. Joe Grimm is the visiting editor in residence at Michigan State University School of Journalism. He's written a fascinating article about Clara Ward, the Kim Kardashian of her time, for Michigan History Magazine. Joe, nice to meet you.
Thank you. This was fun.